Got it. Here we go on a Friday. That's a good sign. Jacob's back in the studio. That means he's going through all of the callers. All of them. All.
Well, we've only got four lines that it can open at a time.
Yeah.
But yes.
You already got somebody.
Yes, I think we got someone.
Oh, good. I hope they're ready. There's a wood wagon that we use to spread news and opinion. The opinion and the news combined is like a it has a manure-like quality to it. And the wagon we use is an old wagon, and Tom used to drive it, but now we just have celebrities riding along in the wagon since Tom's at home on the couch. Who's on the wagon today?
Oh. Well, I have a microphone.
Oh, yeah?
And you don't.
What? So you will listen to every damn word I have to say!
Okay.
Do you understand me?
Yes. That sounds like Tom during the commercial break. All right.
Woo! Was that Adam Sandler?
That was Adam Sandler from The Wedding Singer.
Yaha.
Yaha. All righty. By the way, give us a little hint on who's coming up to play the know-it-all quiz. It's always fun.
His name is Raphael.
Raphael.
He likes to travel.
All right.
He says his favorite place to travel, though, is Florida, which I was a little surprised by.
All right. Can he hear us right now?
He's probably still listening, yeah.
Okay. What's he do for a living?
He's a postal service manager.
Oh, okay.
All right. All right.
So he probably likes Tom. All right. here we go. It's important in order for folks here in the state of Washington, or in Seattle anyway. Tom, are there more women looking for dates or more men looking for dates in the city of Seattle?
I'm assuming more men because we've been infiltrated by techies, and most techies are bros.
There actually more women are actively seeking dates than men. The ratio is a little skewed here in this city. And because of it, women have a hard time meeting guys. So an old fashioned, I can't believe we're using the word old fashioned, but old fashioned to describe what started. I remember Evening Magazine did a story on this back in 97 or 98. Crazy idea. Imagine sitting down with someone you've never met before at a small table with an alcoholic beverage to the right or left of you, and you're given just 8 minutes to determine whether or not you've got a connection. We'll have that story tonight on Evening Magazine. What is speed dating? Mimi Gann has the story. It's like, now we find out that the people that started this thing, when did they start this thing? 20 some years ago?
Mm-hmm.
Are still doing well with it.
Yes. And in fact, it's now so old fashioned that it's almost retro. Mm-hmm. That it's got a kind of a hip status now, the speed dating business, because so many people are now used to doing everything online with all these dating apps and Tinder and the swiping left and right business, that this is seen as somehow kind of radical.
Mm-hmm.
And a woman from the New York Times, a reporter from the New York Times, got access to, without actually having to participate, which I thought was kind of cheap,
mm-hmm.
but she was allowed to sort of stand in the corner of the room and observe. I think it was like 30 people on, you know, split evenly, obviously, between men and women.
Mm-hmm.
As he says, the speed dating is still very heteronormative,
yeah,
as she put it, and just kind of observe how this happens. Everybody gets by now, I think we all know how it operates, but everybody gets 8 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
You've got a master of ceremonies. It sounds like the kind of perfect job for you.
Uh-huh.
He says that this guy immediately put everybody at ease, made some few light jokes, and got them kind of in the spirit of fun.
Uh-huh.
And then they had 8 minutes, and then the women all stay put, and then the men get up and move over to the next seat all the way down the line. And so it was her observations of how things happened and or didn't happen.
You're supposed to ask as many questions as you possibly can without seeming like you're doing a police interrogation. Whenever if she asks you a question, you should reflect back the question after you answer it. Like, oh, really? And what's your favorite date? Or what's your favorite movie? And then the other thing is, it says good idea for the guys is to have a joke sort of loaded in the chamber. Throw a joke out to test her sense of humor. So I watched the 8 things that you're supposed to do on the speed dating. You want to hear the guy's joke? What kind of key can open any lock?
I don't know, John.
A pie key. She laughed. I'm thinking, do you get that?
No.
I don't either. But she thought it was funny. Anyway, a friend of mine did this thing called Just Lunch. Have you ever been on an airline? Alaska Airlines has the ads in the back. Always Just Lunch. The idea is that you sign up, it's just lunch, No heavy duty, no speed dating, no nothing. You're just going to have a lunch with somebody, and if you decide you want to kind of move on from just lunch, you can. You pay $1,500 to $2,000. Men pay less than women do. Women pay more than the men get in because they don't have enough inventory for the guys. This, at least, it was a couple of years ago. So a friend of mine, who she doesn't want me to say her name on the air, but you know who she is, Tom.
But wait a minute, $1,500 for one?
No.
Or like a year's worth of
that
dates.
That gets you, I don't know if it's for a whole year or it's every 6 months or something, but that's your down payment to get you going, to get you into the system. Okay, so you know this friend of mine. I won't say her name on the air. Okay. Attractive, don't you think?
Yes.
Okay. So she goes and it fails over and over and over again. And they say to her, arrive 5 minutes late. Because you want to increase the tension and you want the guy to be looking forward to you. So show up 5 minutes late. Plus, we don't think you're dressing correctly. So we're going to send you a style guide
of what
you need to wear on these dates. It kept failing over and over. And they're like, we cannot understand why this is not working for you. It works for everybody else. So then they made her go on a mock date with a... with a professional guy who's in charge of, like, understanding how dates are supposed to work.
Yeah, and? What was she doing wrong?
A whole variety of things. She just gave up, I think. She paid, like, $2,000 or something.
Yeah.
And went on a whole bunch of ends up, I guess she wasn't dressing right, or she felt that the five-minute thing was a little too much for her. So, anyway, it's good to see that it's back again, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, so how does this have any appeal to you, John? I mean, if in your dating days, did these kinds of things seem more to me? They always strike me as too stunty. Like I would be just embarrassed walking into that room, feeling like I was looking desperate.
Yeah.
Like I'm willing to go through these kind of hoops, talking to 15 different women for 8 minutes apiece, just on the off chance I could meet somebody. I probably could never get over that self-consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, we live in a different world than the world I grew up in, and this might be very efficient. And I do think it seems more effective than something like Tinder for me, because I can't tell just on somebody's looks. You can get a better gauge of how you work with somebody in a face-to-face over 8 minutes, I would think, than a slapdash Tinder swipe left or right business.
Well, if you were craving Italian food, would you go to an Italian restaurant?
Yes.
Yeah, because they serve Italian food there. So basically, you now have everything in common with the people that are in that room. You all want to find somebody. If you went in, besides nowadays, nobody goes into a bar. Used to be going to a bar in the 80s and 90s, cruising around trying to find somebody. Walk up, hey, can I buy you a drink? You buy the person a drink. You hope to strike up a conversation or something. The person gets drunker. They care less or more about you. Here is an example. This is an example of people walk in, sit down, and they're basically saying, look, I'll be honest with you. I want to find somebody. I think that's probably healthier than a hit and miss kind of move at a bar. I had some friends of mine that are women that are like, oh, yeah, we go to bars with no money just so guys can buy us drinks all night. That's wrong.
We're such suckers. Yeah, no, but I think that's true. I'd much rather meet somebody face to face than on the hunch. Although ultimately, once you swipe, you then meet them. But this seems to be more relationship oriented, and it seems to me that Tinder is more hookup culture related.
Yep. Let's see. There's a woman who has been making the bed of the president. Where is this? Is this one of? Is this
in
over
New Jersey?
In New Jersey,
one of his. Gulf Estates.
Okay, and we find out that the woman is undocumented.
And let's also be clear, as the New York Times said in its story, there's no indication at all that the president knew about this. I don't doubt that some low-level manager chose to not look with a skeptical eye. We're talking, look, and I'm not trying to demean her. She's a maid. I mean, she wouldn't have been hired by the president. All right, she wouldn't have been hired. And look, I'll be the first to admit, it's mildly embarrassing for the president, of course, someone who rails against illegal immigration. That turns out he has one in proximity to him working
not just
for
one,
his organization.
Others.
Well, no, one that we know of, or two in this article.
Well, literally cleaning his personal.
So,
cleaning
Hold on. Here's the thing. You know what it proves? The fact that she was able to work there and the fact that she illegally used counterfeit documents to get that job. It shows us how pernicious and pervasive this problem is.
There you go. Where they're trying to connect him, saying he is hiring an undocumented worker, and look at that. She changes his sheets and cleans up after him, and she has some sort of connection or relationship with him, and he turns a blind eye.
No, well, first off, this is not a hit piece on the president. If you read the whole article, she talks about how generous he is. I mean, he sometimes she's 5 foot tall and she's trying to clean this high window, you know, outside. He got out of his golf cart or whatever he was in, and he helped her, and he washed the rest of it, and then he gave her like a $50 tip and all that. So this is not like, oh, he's such a jerk to the undocumented workers. It does point out it's a kind of a crisis of conscience for the maid because she is an undocumented worker and she knows lots of them that work at that estate, and yet the president trashes her people, and so she's really torn because it's like a decent job, but she feels so, you know, humiliated by the kind of talk that she has. So it's kind of like a first person account of what it's like to be in her situation and why she is. One slightly maybe minor qualification about this is she does have false documents, and that's how she was hired. You know, which makes sense. If you're an employee, and because he was bragging that, you know, all of his employees are E-verified, so he knows he has no undocumented workers there. Well, it turns out that there are people in the hiring positions that do know that they're undocumented.
Right.
And when they went through with these stricter forms, she needed to get new identification. She told her supervisor, "Listen, I don't know where to get these these counterfeit documents anymore." Mm-hmm. He actually directed her to somebody else who could maybe procure them for her.
Right.
So somewhere in that food chain, they are acknowledging that these undocumented workers are indeed working there.
Right.
But beyond that, it's more of a personal story about the kind of dilemma that she's personally torn with.
11 million, I think that's what they say, of illegal immigrants that have come into the country. And of 11 million, most of them are working. Many of them are not on unemployment. Many of them are contributing to the overall economic base of America. But they're working illegally, that they haven't gotten into the country.
That's right.
Waiting in line the 7 years or 8 years to get in here in order to, you know, come through the process. So here she's just one of many. I asked a friend of mine who has a contracting business, and he says, you know, I try not to ask because they contract out. So if it's somebody doing tile setting or roofing or framing, he said, you know, I hire that other company, and if they've got some guys on there on that crew, because here's the thing.
It's on them.
Right, it's on them. And the other thing is that it's really hard to find good people. And a lot of these guys, roofers especially, come in there, and they're from Central America or from Mexico, and they show up, and they work hard, and they don't complain. I've worked in a lot of restaurants. The hardest working guys are in the back of the house, working the dish pit or the rest of the junk. And most of them, I don't know how many of them were legally there, but they were the Mexican guys that were just killing themselves for 12 hours, and they showed up every single day.
Yeah.
So there you go. Good job, President Trump. 63 million of us weren't wrong about you. How about this teacher? I almost feel bad about doing this story because obviously there's some sort of mental condition that this woman has had a breakdown. Is that? Oh, we're going to skip that one. Okay, Jacob.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. That's why I don't feel bad. All right.
What's
wrong?
Nothing. I just wanted to bring up that I found out what pikey means.
Why?
It's a British and Irish term that refers to a lower class person.
Okay. Thank you, Andrew.
Was that speed dating in Ireland?
It was in England.
Oh, in England, though. Okay.
So let's try that joke again.
Yeah.
What key can open any heart or any door?
I don't know. What does?
A pie key.
Oh, it's so funny.
I want to date you. There we go. All right. There we go. See how that worked?
Very good.
By the way, Andrew is on such a roll with his English accent after yesterday's show. He can't stop him. Oh, the Facebook bromance that blossomed. Not the thing that just happened between Andrew and I. But in Eastern Washington, the police were looking for a guy, a fugitive, and then they decided that they needed to be able to kind of get in touch with him. He said that, yes, he would show up at the police station in Eastern Washington, and he doesn't show. So then they send out another request for him, and then he writes back, and now it becomes kind of a fun back and forth between the law there in Eastern Washington and the guy on the run.
Yes, indeed. Now, originally, we were thinking that we would read parts of these, but why don't you just read the two? They're just basically two clips. Why don't you read the initial? So, initially, they put out a notice. Hey, you know, we need you to come in. We have a warrant out for your arrest. And the guy says, yeah. Don't get too upset about things. I'll turn myself in on Monday. And then the police department puts out a kind of a sweet tweet Monday morning when he doesn't show up.
Yeah. Do you have that sweet treat over there, Jacob, or should I get Andrew to read it in an English accent?
I would always prefer Andrew to read it. Let's see if I can...
Okay, find it for him, because it'd be kind of fun to, now that he's into this thing where he's got a English accent. But, yeah, the bromance that occurs now between the two folks, the back and forth, the Eastern Washington officers, and also the whole thing ends up on Facebook, and it blossoms into kind of a fun story. I like the fact that the cops have a sense of humor, and I guess they realize that the fugitive also has a sense of humor, so it's, the whole discourse has been elevated as opposed to, you know, threatening the guy with a whole bunch of other nonsense that could possibly come.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so there we go. Do you have it, Andrew?
Or yes, which part, where do I start?
Which one you like?
Just at the beginning of the email, I believe.
Yeah, beginning of the email. You don't have to do the English accent. I know it wears you out.
No, it's fine. I can try it.
Okay, fine.
Most Monday. Dear Anthony, is it us? Last Wednesday, we reached out to you as wanted. You replied and even said you're going to turn yourself in. We waited, but you didn't show. After you stood us up, we reached out again, this time offering you a ride. You replied and said you need 48 hours. The weekend came and went. We're beginning to think you are not coming. Please call us anytime, and we will come to you.
Mm-hmm.
There's a number. I don't want to read that number out.
Okay. Well, the phone's ringing. Perfect timing.
Yes. I'll hang up, but.
Yeah.
Okay. And now there's a response. Do you want him to read the response?
You read the response, Tom. You don't have to do an English accent.
So this is the criminal, I guess, they're looking for. So then he responds to that tweet by saying, dear Richland, Washington Police Department, it's not you, it's me. I obviously have commitment issues. I apologize for standing you up, but let me make it up to you. I will be there no later than lunchtime tomorrow. I know you have no reason to believe me after what I did to you, but I promise that if I don't make it on my own by lunchtime tomorrow, I will call for a ride to assist me with my commitment issues. Thank you in advance to your response if you are patiently giving me another chance with us. I know I don't deserve it. P.S. You're beautiful.
Ha!
And then, son of a gun, he shows up and he tweets out a picture of himself, you know, saying, here for our date, sweetheart. And he has a little, you know, a smiley face and a picture of him at the police station.
Oh, that's good.
Very clever.
Happy
cute.
Ending. Thank you for that.
Yes.
Yes, I feel like I was somewhere in England.
Speed dating.
Come right back. We're going to do the Know-It-All quiz brought to you by Muckleshoot Bingo. Again, the theme of the show, or theme of the questions, will be Nigeria. Nigeria. We'll find out how Raphael, who likes to travel to Florida. That's right. He likes to go, and he's a postal worker. And I bet he loves Tom. We'll be right back. Lake Washington Windows and Doors. If you've got cracked seals in the windows and you got some problems, you got to be able to call Lake Washington Windows and Doors. Don't let that money fly out of the creaky doors and windows. It's Lake Washington Windows and Doors. Thanks a lot for sponsoring. Plus also Muckleshoot Bingo, which brings you the Know-It-All quiz. That's where we get one person to get on the phone to answer five questions of stories we've covered all week. It's pretty simple. No one has ever lost. In fact, we just basically give you the prize. We just need you to fill 8 minutes before we do letters, and then we get the hell out of here. All right, here we go. You ready? Here's what you're going to win. Two tickets. There's no velvet curtain on this show. You know what I mean, Tom?
No velvet curtain. There's no curtain, period. Not even a shower curtain.
I like to think of it this way. I don't want to get in the way of the relationship between the listener and us, right? So there's no fancy-dancy stuff. You know what's going on. We're doing talk radio. Well, we get you to buy all the products that you have to listen to interminably for 12 minutes in between each one of the things we say, right?
High calling.
That's it. All right. Muckleshoot Bingo. It's got tickets to Michael Bublé. Bublé is coming. Wow.
I love that guy.
Me too. He's going to be at the Tacoma Dome on the 6th of April. All right. We'll take care of the rest of the prizes. Let's meet our contestant now. Raphael. He's 48. He's a United States Postal Service manager. He lives in the mines, and he likes to travel. His favorite place to go is Florida. Why not? And he couldn't decide which one of the hosts he likes more. Welcome to the show, Raphael.
Hi, Tom. Hi, John.
Hi, Raphael.
How are you guys? Hey. You guys are hilarious.
Oh, we're hilarious. By the way, yes, go ahead.
I heard you, Tom, saying a couple of times I should love Tom more than you, but you are absolutely wrong.
Okay, good. Good, Raphael. So why, of all the places one could travel, of this beautiful world that we live in, why Florida?
Okay, Florida is something special. The nice weather all the time, the beaches. I like Europe. We are from Europe.
Uh-huh.
I like to travel to Europe, too, but I like Florida.
You like Florida. Okay. That's
my...
All right. Do you know why people make fun of Florida all the time?
Not really.
Okay. Well, they make fun of it because they think a lot of people down there are not very bright and do kind of dumb things a lot. That's why that's sort of the thing going against Florida. All right. Tom, questions for our contestant.
Yeah, where in Europe are you from or do you visit?
We're from Romania.
Wow. I love Romania.
Thank you. Yeah. And
wait a minute. Hold on, Raphael. Raphael, hold on one second.
Dad is from Romania.
Hold on one second. Yeah. Tom, what do you love about Romania?
Okay.
Well, what's fascinating to me is that I was there under the Ceausescu days mm-hmm. when it was very, really oppressive, and it was very scary for me. I was a young college student, and kids would come up to me, and they'd want to exchange because the exchange rate was really phony, and they said, we could give you so much money in exchange for that, and I was too paranoid, so I played it very safe. You had to spend X amount of money, and so when they overthrew Ceausescu, I was so filled with joy because I met a bunch of Romanian kids that were really friendly, but it felt like a kind of repressive country, and now they've thrown off the shackles of that kind of tyranny.
You are absolutely right, Tom.
Here we go. Hey, Raphael, here's what's going to happen. You're on Facebook right now, Facebook Live, for some reason. I don't know why we do this. Mike, why do we do this? Do you know? No idea. How many people have tuned in to watch at this point? 8. All right. Raphael, don't take that personally. You ready? Tone and tenor of everything we established changes right now. By the way, I have, I don't know why. Today I have no papers. I have no research. I pulled all this right out of my rear end. I didn't have anything written down. So, Tom, instead of throwing papers in the air, I got more than $1,000 in cash, so I'm going to throw that in the air, okay?
Don't tell Sully that you have all that cash on you.
Yeah.
Here
this
we go.
Work well on Facebook Live.
Here we go. Raphael, you ready?
Yes, I am.
All right, Tom, how many does he have to get right?
Since he likes us equally, he has to get 3 out of 5, John.
These are stories we covered all week. We got big news this week. We learned that we are ranked number 72 in the most downloaded news and politics podcast in this country. Which country, Tom?
A, France. B, the Netherlands. Because for some reason, Jacob has got an itch he can't scratch, and it's called the Netherlands. C, Nigeria.
I think it's C.
You are correct. At this point, Raphael is 48 years old and likes to go to Florida. Tom has how many correct?
Raphael is 1 for 1, John.
Number 2, in an obvious attempt to pander to the good people of Nigeria, the finest country in the world, I might add, we did a story about the president of Nigeria having to publicly admit that he was not what, Tom?
A, a clone. B, a white man in traditional minstrel blackface. Or C, Tito Jackson of the Jackson 5 fame.
Wow. I will say B.
Did you say A? We've got a bad connection. Did you say A?
Yes, that was A. Yes, exactly.
When you live under an oppressive dictator, you learn how to change your story real quick. Here we go. 3, Japan, a country that pales in comparison to Nigeria, has added what to the subway system to make the commuters more comfortable, Tom?
A, soft music to indicate the train is leaving. B, White-gloved government employees will spray waiting commuters on the jam-packed subway platforms with various colognes and perfumes. C. Nigeria, by the way, is rated number one in the world for highway fatal accidents. It was number two just last year, and now it's number one. So, there you go.
I think I heard C.
Well, C would be us directly pandering to Nigeria, but having nothing to do with what's happening in Japan. Raphael, you know the answer is A, don't you, in your heart?
A, yeah.
All right, yeah.
He has a big Romanian heart.
I am dragging him across the finish line. Here we go. Four. Raphael, the answer is A. Here we go. Among all the great stories that we told about Nigeria this week, and why wouldn't we? Because Nigeria is a great country, for your information. We're about to find time to do a story about eels. You ready? Eels were getting stuck up what, Raphael? Tom.
A, seals' nasal passages. B, dolphins' rectums. Or C, Nigeria, a great country to be stuck in.
What? I mean, well, hold on, Raphael. Raphael, I'm going to help you.
Yes.
What is the least offensive answer?
Yeah, fine. I think C.
Okay. Yeah, Tom, did he get that correct? Nigeria. Eels were getting stuck in Nigeria. All right, here we go.
John, you deserve this.
Why do I deserve this?
You write a Nigerian-themed quiz,
yeah,
and then the answers are never Nigeria. It throws people for a loop.
Tom, he's from Romania. He's been well-educated. He knows he was able to get out of there before Ceausescu killed everybody, and he's in the United States. He works for the U.S. Postal Service. He's above average as far as intelligence, and he goes to Florida for vacation.
But he flashes, he thinks you're Ceausescu, and you couldn't trust anything Ceausescu said. So when you told him the answer is A, he immediately distrusted you. It's your fault.
Oh,
the
I thought it'd be up a dolphin's rectum or in Nigeria. The answer's quite obvious. It's a seal's nose. Here we go. Finally, Raphael, hang on. Hang on. All right, you ready? What are single men and women doing for 8 minutes that really seems to satisfy both sexes? Oh, my God. Jacob wrote this. Go ahead.
Seals, Tom. Nasal passages.
No.
Okay, A.
Yes.
Texting in the Tom and Curly Show.
Uh-huh.
B, speed dating.
Yes.
Or C, visiting the great country of Nigeria.
You throw me again. You throw them Nigeria again.
I know. To ignore that.
Take a wild guess.
Ignore that one.
Okay. I will say, what was the texting?
These are single men and women enjoy doing this for 8 minutes.
B, speed dating.
B.
B, speed dating. Or B, speed dating. Oh.
The U.S. Postal Service has never been held in better light. Wow. All right, Raphael.
Woo! Next week, a Romania-themed quiz.
Brutal. How are we ever going to make number 70 in Nigeria? Here we go. By the way, Raphael, congratulations to you. You get a chance to see Michael Bublé. He's coming to the Tacoma Dome.
Wow.
He's great. The orchestra behind him is outstanding. It's on April 6th. Enjoy Michael Bublé. Tickets you can also find at Ticketmaster.com. Plus, we're going to give you 6 tickets to Seattle Seahawks Junior 12s Club holiday party that's coming up on the 22nd of December at CenturyLink Field for kids 5 to 12. Ring in the holidays with Blitz Bloom and the Seagulls. Don't forget there's a petting zoo. Has nothing to do with the Seagulls. Learn more by going to Seahawks.com/Junior 12s. Raphael, thank you for playing. And more importantly, we really do honestly mean this from the bottom of our hearts. We appreciate you listening to our show.
You are hilarious. Thank you, guys.
All right. You are too in your own way. All right. Here we go. Take the music up.
Bye-bye, Raphael.
All right, Tom. Without you here. Ready? Here we go.
Bye, Tom.
Bye-bye.
I see the rappers do this, Jake. Here we go.
Pennies from heaven.
That's right. There we go. Mailman's going to come by. I bet he's got lots of letters, Tom. You know, by the way, I got a little sort of peek at some of the letters that have already come in from the mailman. You scared the heck out of everybody with this neti pot story.
Well, I was scared the heck myself.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know what? Oh, you're an analogy and I'm an analogy. All right. Here comes the mailman.
I'm the mailman. As you can see, I'm the mailman. Don't nobody mess with me. I'm the mailman. If you didn't know, I'm the mailman. I bring the mail to your door.
A lot of people text us on an online Trading Academy text line at 98973. That's the online Trading Academy text line. All right. Teeny tiny lady. She's somewhere nearby. No, she wrote in with Adam Sandler.
Hello!
There she is. All right, Tom. We'll get to that letter of the day, but first let's get started.
So we kicked off the show with proposed gun legislation. 253 weighs in. Limiting magazine sizes to less than 10 should not be legal. Mm. I know that there are handguns that the manufacturers send with magazines that hold more than 10. The Glock 19 standard magazine holds 15. That should not be made illegal.
Wow, 206. So you have to take a class to conceal a weapon, but any jackass can open carry a handgun in Washington State? Question mark?
Yeah, I don't know if that's right. Eric in Bothell, I hate listening to talks about gun control. Mm-hmm. We all know who will play which part in the discussion and all the lines.
Yes.
The right will insist any changes that will ultimately lead to gun confiscation. The discussion will include statistics that prove that the number of people who are killed is insignificant compared to our total population.
Yes.
The only thing that isn't addressed is how big the number of killed loved ones and relatives has to be before that number is significant.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Eric and Bothell. Let's see. Baby, it's cold outside. 253. Additional thing that now doesn't sound so good, given the modern context. Seven brides for seven brothers.
And 253. Oh, my freaking God.
Yeah.
There is nothing wrong with baby, it's cold outside. He's attracted to her, wants her to stay. She's considering it. And her main concern is what others might think of her if she stays, if she chooses to stay.
Mm.
Lighten the hell up. Good for Gail, whoever she is.
253. The idea that there's some kind of war on Christmas is ridiculous. If anything, we're in danger of Christmas swallowing up the month before and the month after. I mean, our entire retail economy is based on the Christmas season.
That's funny. On the Santa kneeling before Jesus business, 360 writes, does Tom find Frontline and ProPublica conservative-leaning? They just ran a piece a few weeks ago showing how Facebook censors all kinds of content that Americans would find to be benign because they are catering to the world majority, not the American.
Mm.
So Santa kneeling is considered to be offensive to most of the world.
Wow. Neti Pots 206 says, I love neti pots. I use distilled water, but I rinse it out with tap water. But it is Sammamish water. Oh, my gosh. Ran out of time already?
Oh, that's too bad, because the last... I used my neti pot to get eels out of my nose.
And now it's time for the letter of the day.
Wow.
Letter of the day comes from Mike in Stanwood, who used to live in Ukraine. Hello, fellas. It is with a sad heart that I must say that one of your most loyal podcast listeners will no longer have the chance to listen regularly to your show. No more will I be able to revel in ripping yarns about marine mammals that use unsuspecting eels for their own perverse pleasure, or to hear tales about crustaceans being fumigated under bed covering. No more will I delight in proposed movie ideas that are laced with double entendres. A stroke of genius comes to mind. Or hear Tom and John blithely spout half-baked political theories from both the right and the left side of the political spectrum. Yes, you two knuckleheads will be dearly missed as part of my daily routine at work, since I will be moving to a new area starting Monday.
Oh, no.
Anyway, farewell to the Tom and Curly podcast. I will still catch your show when I can, but in the meantime, take care and have a dobre din.
Oh, my gosh.
That is reaching way back to the early days.
By the way, you don't have to say goodbye to us. You listen to us on the podcast.
Yeah,
our radio.
Even in Nigeria, they can listen
to
us.
See, that's why we're number 71 there.
All right. That's right.
Get better, Tom. Enjoy that rehab.
Will indeed. Thanks a lot, you guys.
Bye-bye.
Dobre din.
Out of time. Bye-bye.